Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 2018 results presentation of Kindred Group. My name is Sharish Aziz, and I'm an equity analyst at Danske Bank here in Stockholm. I'll be the one moderating the Q&A session that follows the results presentation given by CEO Henrik Tjärnström of Kindred Group. I'll leave the floor to you, Henrik.
Thank you very much, Sharish. Thanks a lot, everyone. We're in the middle of a busy reporting schedule here in Stockholm, thank you very much for everyone coming here today, also for you guys participating on the video conference or in the telephone conference as well. Really looking forward to that. We're very happy and proud that we can report another strong set of numbers for Kindred, and it's, as I mentioned before, it's a testament of all the hard work that the team has put in back in the different offices we have around the globe. Really a big thanks to everyone making this possible. Especially encouraging, I would say, is that we had a new all-time high in active customers when we come into the main season now for us being the World Cup in this year with full activity, and that's really, really encouraging for Q2 and Q3 and beyond. Today's outline is as follows. We start with the financial results, going in a bit more in depth on those, and then we follow with the business overview, and then we round off with a summary. First to mention a little bit on the brands and the brand portfolio that we operate as Kindred Group. Here you can see the 11 different brands that we operate, and the changes since last time we met in February is that the Stan James brand was migrated according to plan over to the Unibet brand, and the customers was also migrated onto the Unibet. Hence, the Stan James brand has ceased to operate after having been a very successful brand for many years. We are very proud to have owned Stan James, and we're very proud to continue to have the employees and all the contribution they're providing to the group, but now under the Unibet umbrella and brand. Vlad Cazino has basically replaced Stan James in this slide, and that's a new launch that we mentioned in connection with the Q4 report, and it's just proving that with our proprietary technology platform that is really cutting edge and market leading in many different aspects, is really enabling us to also launch new brands organically like we did indeed with Storspelare and Storspiller last year, but also now that we are taking over the different acquired brands onto the Kindred platform. As of this morning, we have also migrated the Horner brands, as you can see on the right-hand side of this slide, onto the Kindred platform. Basically, over the first 4 months of this year, we've been able to close down two external platform, or will be able to close down quite soon at least, two external platforms that has come through acquisition. Again, even further strengthening the proprietary technology platform of the Kindred Group. On the financial results, as we mentioned today and this morning in the report, we were happy with the gross winnings revenue up 23% pure organically and a new all-time high in active customers. Reported numbers was even stronger as we didn't have any contribution from 32Red for the first quarter last year, and that was up 36%. We're very, very happy to see that, and especially after a few quarters with exceptionally strong sportsbook margin, especially in Q4, it means that the customers' wallets are a bit more empty when we come into the first quarter, and then also when the first quarter started with very strong margin. We're very happy to still be able to report a 23% growth. Also as we had the start of the first quarter with 50% higher than normal sports betting margins, for the rest of the quarter, it's normalized as expected and came in on 8.2% after free bets for the full quarter. Really positive with the new all-time high in active customers, as I mentioned, in the lead up to the World Cup coming now in June and July. Some of the numbers in more detail, as you say here, close to a new all-time high in gross winnings revenue, but the second-best quarter ever for us on 207.8 million for the group, up 36% as reported. As I mentioned, organically, that would be 24% increase, and organic and in constant currency is a 23% increase. Very positive as well that we continue to have a good conversion further down in the P&L, where EBITDA is growing much faster than the top line, That's a testament to the good cost control we have in the company. EBITDA, as reported, was up 61%. The underlying EBITDA was 57% up, and that number organically was 47%, and organic in constant currency was 46% up in EBITDA. The same positive developments continue throughout the P&L down to earnings per share, which were up 82%. Also positive development in free cash flow, up 24%. Also active customers, as I mentioned, new all-time high, up 12% year-on-year to 1.383 million customers. When we look at the quarterly numbers in more detail, you can see here the trend for the first quarter. As you can see here, the first quarter of 2018 is by far the largest first quarter we've ever had. Of course, it's partly contributed by the 32Red acquisition. Even excluding that, the equivalent number would have been 189.9 million pounds, still significantly higher than previous years. If we look on the total quarters for the previous years, you can see, as I mentioned, that this is the second-best quarter we've ever had, which is quite normal considering the unusually or exceptionally high sports betting margin we had in Q4 of last year. Being also the second quarter above 200 million pounds for one single quarter. Again, it bodes well for the full-year forecast. As similar to the gross winnings revenue, it's the first time really that we see that the mobile numbers are not increasing quarter-on-quarter, but I think that's also quite explainable considering the high or exceptionally high sports betting margin in the fourth quarter, and especially also as sports has a higher mobile percentage than casino, and it's a normal consequence that it's a bit of a dip between Q4 and Q1 on absolute mobile revenues. It's though still up 34% year-on-year, and 72% of the total gross winnings revenue still came from the mobile development or mobile channel. All the developments that we've done over the last seven, eight years has really continued to pay dividend. It's, as I said, by far our largest channel. When we come to FX, as I already mentioned, a few numbers around that. You can see here that it's a bit of a mixed bag in our basket of currencies that we operate. As you can see here, the pound strengthened against the Swedish, Norwegian, and Australian dollar, but it weakened against the euro and Danish krone. The overall balance is that the pound actually weakened about 1%. It's very normal or very flat development compared to what we have seen in certain quarters. As a consequence as well, you can see at the bottom of this slide the impact throughout the P&L, which is quite marginal considering the scale of the business. Not much to report on that. Still, if we look at with the other sort of a comparable impacting item, which is M&A, and again, them being the 32Red acquisition from June last year. In Q1, and we look on our main geographies, we see that the Nordics were up 7% as reported in pounds. It was up 8% in constant currency. Of course, as 32Red didn't have much contribution or any really in the Nordic markets, the same number stands for organic and in constant currency. Western Europe, though, where the main share of the 32Red business falls into, came in as reported with 65% increase, which is a very strong development, and it's strong development across all markets in the region. Gross winnings revenue in constant currency there was 62% up, and organic and in constant currency, as you can see here, excluding the 32Red element of last year from last year's numbers, it was up 38%. Really strong development, which makes us confident to say that we continue to take market share across our core markets. On the other cost analysis, we're very happy to show the continued focus on cost control, and as we mentioned already early last year, that the office moves that we were planning throughout 2017 and now into 2018, and actually will be falling into 2019 as well with the move here in Sweden, will have a short-term upward pressure on the other OpEx, but also the trend that we see now from Q2 2017 to to Q3, Q4, and now into Q1 is still very positive, and the scalability is coming through again, and the trend is on a downward slide to actually be 8% now of reported gross winnings revenue for the first quarter of 2018. Again, we would expect that positive trend to continue as the new increases in the cost base is predominantly fixed, and as top line is growing, then as a percentage, they should come down over time. On EBITDA, the development is quite similar to what we saw on the top line. Again, by far the largest quarter for us as a group, as a first quarter, and the same comparable numbers for all the other quarters. Again, similar to what we saw, this is the second-best quarter ever for us as a group, only beaten by the exceptional Q4 of last year. Strong developments, and again, bodes well for the rest of the year. Also, as we've mentioned in connection with the 2016 Q2 presentation, and at that time, it was the benefit of hindsight. Now we want to be a bit more on the front foot and really communicate this clearly before the tournament is starting. We see that there's a very good opportunity for us to both reactivate our historical databases, but also to acquire new customers in the lead up to the World Cup starting in June. As a consequence, these sort of short-term pain for a long-term gain, these investments in marketing is a very normal pattern of development for us, and we will expect to see, and we know that we will get the payback already from Q3, but then also into Q4 and into 2019. It's a normal development over the last large tournament years to see that there is a drop in actual reported EBITDA from Q1 to Q2, and the number has been somewhere between 10% and 30%. It all will depend what the margin will be in the end of the day in the early phases of the World Cup tournament. It will be a normal development if EBITDA drops between Q1 and Q2. That's nothing that we are seeing as unusual in any respect, and it's part of our conscious plan to really build the business for the longer term. We also know that as the start of the championships, it tends to be that the favorite teams are much stronger than some of the smaller teams in the early phases of the tournament, which tends to lead to more favorites winning, which could lead to a lower sports betting margin. That in combination with the increased marketing investments has this implication of a most logical drop and planned drop in EBITDA. More on that, of course, when we know what the outcome will be in connection with the Q2 report. On EPS development, it's a very similar trend to what we saw further up in the P&L. Again, we're very happy to show it's an increased conversion further down the P&L, and it's growing over 80% compared to last year. For the quarter, 0.131, and again, it's neck to neck with Q3 last year, but again, similar to the second-best quarter ever for us as a group. On the business overview. On active customers, we have continued strong development, and again, we're inching upwards. If we look on the long-term trend from then to 2018, that's a very strong development. At the same time, the average revenue per user or the ARPU has been up only 2%, and we believe that the sustainability of the World Cup coming up. We're really looking forward to that, and all the developments in the company have been geared towards being ready, and also marketing investment plans have been geared to that. Some of the costs are actually from Q1 and pushed into Q2 to be able to really be able to excel at the time of the event. When we look on the sports betting margin, it came in on 9.7% before free bets and 8.2% after. The 8.2% after, the equivalent number at the time of us giving the trading update in connection with the Q4 presentation, it was closer to 10.5%. The margin has really normalized further on in the quarter, which is completely as expected. The long-term average margin that we've seen from 2011 to 2017 is around 7.2%. Still we came in slightly higher than the long-term average as a consequence of the start being exceptionally strong, but normalized a lot more, and that's also good for the customer activity and loyalty, actually having the customer feeling that they can also win sometimes from the company, which is really, really good for the customers and for us. The other numbers that we have is the split by geography and by product. You can see here, as the sports betting margin now normalized more in Q1 than in Q4, sports as a percentage came in on 46% for the group, and casino as a consequence jumped up again then to around 50% mark. In line with the long-term trend for the company. Poker and bingo are sharing the other percentage points in the group. On geography, the same trend continues. Nordics as a percentage jumped up a little bit in Q1 compared to Q4, came in on 36%, and Western Europe, where we had a very strong development, remained on 55%. We're very happy with this well-diverse geographical portfolio, and it's built up of many different markets within those two major regions as well. On top of that, we have some fast-growing markets in the CES region, Italy being one that's coming. Really positive developments and good mix on a geographical basis. Another thing that we're very proud of and very happy to reconfirm is our AAA rating from Morgan Stanley Capital International when it comes to environment, social, and governance. It's really positive, and we are the only testament to all the hard work that we have been doing over the years, especially when it comes to responsible gambling, but also on other sustainability aspects. I would also like to make a sort of a puff for the sustainability report that we published earlier in the year, and that's something that I can state and that we will follow up with in the coming quarters and annual reports. Part of this making this possible is, of course, the team that we have, and it's a very strong team across the board. And just to mention a few of them here and the contribution that the legal and compliance department within the group is contributing to enable this AAA rating. It was a global regulatory award of last week from Gambling Compliance, and we were the top winner on the prizes. And we were really proud to secure three prizes, the top prize for Data Protection Officer of the Year, Head of Risk, and also most significant contribution to responsible gambling, to all the hard work. And of course, that's underpinning the AAA rating that we achieve and standing us out as one, as a unique operator in our sector. So very proud of that. And thank you very much for everyone contributing to that. As you would have seen yesterday, there was some turbulence in the market when it came to some of the regulatory developments. This is nothing unusual for us. We've been living with this kind of volatile environment for the last 20 years as an organization. So yesterday was in some ways no news for us. And we also noted the articles that was published. And then when we started to look in more into the detail of what's actually behind them, we found out that it was not that much, really. What we found out, and it's yet to be published, as I understand it, as of this morning from the Family and Culture Committee, what the actual outcome of their discussions has been. But as far as we understand it, it was two members of parliament from two parties in the Stortinget in Norway who sent in a more or less a wish list. And that was then sided by with the Family and Culture Committee, sided with that. And now they are sending that forward to the Stortinget for a vote on the 7th of May. And if that vote is supportive of the wish list, then we expect that to be handed to the government for preparation of proposals that will be referred back to the Stortinget. And if those proposals are then enacted, that's much further down the line. It's a lot of investigatory work that needs to take place before that's even happening. And to be fair, and even if it is happening, in our opinion, as Norway has signed up to the EES treaty and is a de facto EU member, or at least applying EU law, unless the licensing award is proportionate and non-discriminatory, any laws need to be in compliance with EU law as well. And if they are not awarding licenses accordingly, then the laws are not enforceable. So for us, it was another development in the 20 years that we've seen, and not so much news for us. Of course, we're closely following developments as well, and we see it as an unfortunate thing that the Norwegian government and politicians don't see the opportunity instead, like in Sweden, to introduce a re-regulated system where you can really see a benefit from, for the players, for the sports industry, for media industry, and for the tax coffers as well. Of course, to create a well-functioning system with high channelization. That's the way of the third millennia, rather than to try to block. It's even not the IP blocking, as it was mentioned yesterday. As far as we understand, it's more a question about DNS pop-up that would come for the customers to just click away, rather than any blocking. Much more to come on that, we really encourage the Norwegian government to rather look at the licensing system to embrace the opportunity, rather than anything else. On that note as well, as I mentioned, the regulatory development and update in Sweden is quite to the contrary. There's been a law tabled for the parliament now, and that will be voted on the 7th of June. It's a strong political consensus behind the law being proposed. The application process is expected to have started in 1st of August. The vote in parliament is expected to be more of a formality. An application process starting on 1st of August and entering into force of 1st January 2019. Basically, Sweden following Denmark in opening up the market for free establishment, and for license award for operators prepared to enter into the market. We are very well prepared. We operate 12 local licenses already today. We are welcoming the opportunity to also operate locally in Sweden. In connection with the financial numbers, we paid 37 million pounds of betting duties in Q1 2018 alone. We're very much prepared to do that as long as we can compete fair and square with any operator in the market. We are well prepared, and we will be ready if the law is voted through as it's being tabled right now. We don't see any major reasons why it would change either, to be honest. The proposal, though, to leave the state-owned operator as it is without any full separation is a problem as we see it, and we've been highlighting that in our communication on the proposed bills. It's also unfortunate that incumbent operators will allow to enter the competitive market with a position that they've been able to build up over the last 40 to 50 years, and they will come in with a very strong position. If this state-owned operator is allowed to use the same brand for both online and offline activity, we can't really see that being anything else than a cross-subsidization. It's a bit unfortunate if that can't be addressed before the go-live date, but it's for sure something that will most likely lead to a competition law processes, which is unfortunate, but it seems to unfortunately also unavoidable. The regulatory developments also well when Sweden, we will again participate at the Almedalen week, the political week, middle of the summer. As this is an election year in Sweden, we're expecting a really strong event, and we have been loading up our Wednesday that we will be doing our weekday in Almedalen, and we will be meeting politicians and other stakeholders with a lot of interesting events from the scene where we will be. Warm welcome to everyone who wants to be there and who can be there at that time. Further regulatory updates, if we just touch briefly on Belgium and Netherlands. Belgium, there was a court ruling on 22nd of March, which we're very happy with and was as we expected it, that it was a complete annulment of the VAT levy for online, but unfortunately, there was no retroactive effect. We reserve our rights to fully claim back the money we have been unrightfully paying over the last almost 2 years or one and a half year. What's important, though, is as a precedent, an acknowledgement that high taxation impacts attractiveness of the market. It will, though, depend when we have to stop paying the current VAT because the court ruling need to be published in the official journals before we can stop. We're expecting that to happen in the coming weeks or months. There's also royal decrees and going through legislative process. and entry into force 8 months after the official publication. That will come in Q2 2019 at the earliest. More on that later when we know more about those. Also on the Netherlands, it's very much the status quo. Nothing really has happened since February when we met last time. The secondary legislation is unlikely to move forward before a Senate vote, and we haven't seen any date being put into the calendar for that vote to happen. As a consequence, the pressure on the Netherlands authorities' plan to go live from Q3 2019 looks larger and larger, and there's an increasing risk of delay to that timetable. Right now, no further news. If we summarize, very happy with the new all-time high in active customers. Sports betting margin after free bet, 8.2%. As we mentioned, gross winnings revenue up 36% as reported, EBITDA up 61%, EPS 82% up, and free cash flow up 24%. So really, really strong developments for us as a group, and we're very happy to take that into Q2 and beyond. Also, some more anecdotal and to mention a bit on the World Cup and how the land lies in a sense and who is the favorites and who is the underdog. You can see here that Brazil is the favorite on 5.5 times the money. Germany closely behind on 5.75. And some of our other core markets, we call it like France, Belgium, Denmark and Sweden, a bit more remote, but France with a big shot at it. I'm sure Alban is believing in that. Sweden though, 101 times the money for those of you who fancy Sweden to win. It's a long shot, but couldn't happen. So that concludes the presentation, and really looking forward to see you back when we report our Q2 numbers. So Q&A, Sharish.
Thank you so much, Henrik. As usual, I'll jump into a couple of questions of my own, as I had the luxury of being the first in line, and then we'll pop into the public and webcast and phone. If you start off with the significantly strong trading update for Q2 and the more than 21st days, what is it? Is it because of sportsbook margin? Do you have strong activity within casino? Any specific markets?
To be fair, it's, as we say, it's a relatively short period of time, and as we know in connection with championship years, the outcome of the full quarter will be fully dependent on how the initial stages of the World Cup tournament develops. It's also in fairness to say that the same period last year, sports betting margin, if you remember, was a bit weak at the end of the first quarter and weak at the start of the second quarter as well. So a little bit of soft comparables as well, but it's still strong underlying development.
Across the board in all verticals and all markets. Okay.
Yeah, it's a similar trend to what we've seen in the first quarter.
I see. And then on the marketing expenses going forward, you said that some costs have been taken in Q1 already, but also in Q2. Can we expect marketing expenses, total marketing expenses coming in at much significant higher levels than in Q1?
Yeah, for Q2, definitely, I would say, and that's part of the plan that we have laid out internally, and also, as I mentioned, in connection with the World Cup. For the full year, we're repeating the guidance, though, that a couple of percentage points below 30% for the full year, but now as we came in on 25.4% for the first quarter, it means that the second quarter will be a lot higher than that. Can be up to the 30% mark or around that level. Of course, it depends what the sports betting margin will be in the tournament as such. But the normal trend with the sort of a step up in Q2 and Q3 and then lower again in Q4 to come in on this kind of guidance around a couple of percentage points below. So that's in line with our thinking.
Okay, thank you. And then secondly, I'll just talk about the elephant in the room that came yesterday, actually, and that was Norway. You highlighted that and Sweden as well. What would be the bear case scenario if some, you know, you said that it wasn't IP blocking, but what's the timeline if the parties in Norway actually decided to vote through?
I mean, as I said, if they vote through this now on the 7th of May, which it seems likely, but again, we don't know the full sort of document from the committee as of yesterday. It wasn't published this morning, as we understand it. But nevertheless, if it is voted through what was proposed, the 8 points on the wish list of yesterday, or as we understand, it was six or seven of them that will be supported in a sense. In any respect, that needs then to be referred back to the government for preparation. Then the government needs to come back to the parliament with a proposal, and then that will be voted through. Then again, as I mentioned, it needs to be compliance with also data privacy, freedom of speech and information rights, and also Norway's obligation as a sign up to the EES treaty. In some aspects, and not to take this flippantly, but it's almost business as usual in a sense, what we've seen with the tug of war between the government and private operators in a sense, with the ambition to really just protect the monopoly for financial reasons, which again is not justifiable course under the EU law. We will need to see a lot more on this before we can see anything concrete happening. It's also not, as we understand it, IP blocking, but rather a DNS pop-up, which the customer can sort of click away and continue. As we say, we find it unfortunate that the Norwegian government can't see it as a sort of an opportunity to rather get control of the market like the Swedish government and politicians have done, and really see that to channelize the gambling into the regulated system rather than trying to push people away, because it's not good for anyone really in the market.
I agree. I guess we're talking about it. This is not going to happen overnight, but your Norwegian source revenues, they're still, I guess we're not seeing any adverse impact on those going a couple of years forward, at least, given the longevity of the process of.
No, I say some impact we have seen already with the stepped up ambitions from the government to enforce payment blockings. In our opinion, as we've highlighted through the EGBA filing of complaints against Norway for breaches of data privacy aspects, when they're actually quite intrusive and going into to bank transfers into customer accounts and trying to block those to customers and sort of obstruct those kind of transactions. It's quite excessive in our opinion, and it's a question mark if those are in compliance with the data integrity and again with the privacy aspects that also the Norwegian government should comply to.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Henrik. I'll pass the word forward to the audience. Do we have any questions here? No questions from the audience. That's a first. And from the phone?
If you wish to ask a question on the phone lines, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. We have one question from the line of Lars-Ola Hellström from Pareto Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, Henrik, a really good report once again. I have a couple of questions. We can start with the sportsbook and the sportsbook margins. The sportsbook turnover actually fell sequentially. Is that an effect of the strong margins we saw in the fourth quarter and the beginning of January, which had some effect on the turnover, and has turnover growth kicked in, started again in beginning of Q2?
Yeah, that's exactly the trend that we've seen. As I mentioned, when we've had strong margin developments, both Q3, Q4, and start of Q1, it has an impact on turnover as well, of course, and then also turnover on most likely on the other products as well, as most of our customers are actually playing more than one product. So it has an implication on overall turnover for the group, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and that was actually my next question. It has been strong in Western Europe and other, and in casino, but in the Nordic, it has been basically flat performance in casino revenue over the last year. It's only up £1 million or something like that. Is it due to the strong sportsbook, or is it Norway a problematic market, or what's the reason for the relatively weakness in casino in Nordics?
Yeah, it is part. It's not one single thing. It's, as you mentioned, it's both as we believe it's both the sportsbook sort of margin developments, but also the increased enforcement that you mentioned or I mentioned just now. When it comes to Norway, it's also us making a conscious decision on certain acquisition channels and what kind of traffic can be driven from those. So it's all coming together in that. And of course, it's also a very competitive situation in the sort of dot-com markets where entry barriers are way too low. And especially in a market like Sweden, where there's a lot of jostling for position for operators ahead of the regulation. Of course, we are very much at the forefront of that, but it's still a lot of kind of more aggressive modus operandi that's been launched in the last couple of months and quarters. So that will most likely have some implication. I'm not so sure that they drive much loyalty for the long term, but short term, it can have these consequences when there's a new offer and a new brand for customers to take. So we're not worried in a sense, and we have a lot of plans that have been geared this year rather towards the second quarter for our main brand being Unibet. And then we're also working very actively to further improve, and as I mentioned here earlier, to take over the brands on the Kindred platform to really enable a better tool set. But we'll, of course, also need to be minded to execute extremely locally on all brands as well. So it's... We're expecting the developments to change over time, and as I said, especially now in connection with Q2 and the World Cup, there should be a real increase in activity.
But would it be fair to assume that Norway, in terms of casino revenue, has declined year on year, Sweden grown a little bit, and Finland being your strongest casino market?
We haven't given any numbers on that, so I can't possibly comment on that, but your speculation is as good as any.
Okay. The higher betting duties, is that in the quarter scene? Because now we didn't have that strong sport margins, I think, in the fourth quarter, but it was still on almost the same levels. Is that a reflection of France gaining share of total, or is there some one-off effect here?
As we are growing our regulated revenues, and also now this quarter we have 32 red that we didn't have last year, but also the developments in the other regulatory markets, like you mentioned, France, also Belgium, and Denmark and others as well. So they're all chipping in as the re-reg percentage is increasing, and now we're on 42%. So we're approaching the 50% mark, and at the time of Sweden re-regulating, we will break the 50% barrier, no doubt. So. It's strong development across the re-regulated markets.
But has France, compared to fourth quarter, has France on the sportsbook side done a little bit better compared to the other markets and taking share in total? I mean, has there been a turnover growth in France in Q1? So this is the underlying level of betting duties we see.
We don't expect betting duties to come down over time, rather to the contrary. As I mentioned, we paid £37 million now in the first quarter alone, and we paid £113 million for the full year 17. So betting duties are on the up, but we're working very hard to control our other costs to allow for that margin pressure and absorption, and then also to leave more money over for marketing investment that will drive future growth. That's been part of our plan since 2011, and we don't see any change to that. Also, on the betting duties aspect, you should remember that we're growing fast in the UK market as well, not only with the addition of 32 Red, but also with the Unibet brand in the UK market. So that's also contributing to the increase in betting duties.
Okay. And other costs, actually, I have had expected that the other costs would come down, but not as much as this. On a quarter-and-quarter basis, can you say something about it was really strong cost control? Was there a lot of one-off effects in the fourth quarter or...
And no, not as such. It's these are the kind of the... When we have strong developments on top line, and as you say, when the facility related costs that we talked about in connection with the new offices are more of a fixed character, then the sort of the, as a percentage of top line, when that's growing fast, should come down over time. So it's part in and in line with the plan, I would say.
Okay. And you didn't say anything about the performance of 32Red in Q1.
We had that in the bullet points on the printed report, so you can look there. I think it was 17.9 million of top line and 2.6 million of EBITDA. So, again, with the regulatory step up from the U.K. Gambling Authority, that's also meant that it's a bit more challenging environment for every operator in the U.K. market, and 32Red being no exception in that, in a sense. So, of course, very, very difficult to forecast these kind of step ups in enforcement from regulators. But long term, we are very supportive of the approach and sustainability aspects that is being enforced, and it's very much in line with we as a group, how we have been operating historically. So it's more a question of alignment than anything else.
Okay, I think that was all for me. Thank you.
If there are any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now.
Looking for more phone questions over the phone. We have questions from the audience.
Hi, good morning. Rasmus with Handelsbanken. I had two questions. Firstly, if you could shed some light on what happens with casino during the, you know, the last 6 months when you had this very big and volatile betting margin. Did that also hurt your casino business?
Yeah, I believe so. As I mentioned, there is logically for especially it's kind of the Unibet brand, we're targeting combined players, and as you know, for the Unibet brand, the product mix is quite similar to that of the overall group, which means that a lot of the sports bettors are also playing casino, and when they're kind of losing in sports, they have less money left over for casino as well. So that's part of the consequences of high sportsbook margin.
And on that matter, do you think that the wallets have been replenished now? Or what's your take on that? Are they still sort of unusually low?
I think the second half of the first quarter, as I mentioned, when sports betting margins were normalizing, so they were lower than the long-term average to take the initial phase down to where it came in at for the full quarter. That's good for the customers, and it's also good for the lead up to the championship now in the summer. So these are normal swings that we've seen, but I think 2017 was a bit of an exceptional year when we had low margin in Q1, Q2, and then high in Q3, especially in Q4, and now with the start of Q1 as well. So it's nothing unusual, but it will normalize over time. But of course, it's a complete stochastic development as well.
And a completely different one. The 32Red migration, what is the status, timing?
Mm-hmm.
Potential impact of that?
Yeah, the original plan was to go from middle of this year, and now we push that into early next year, with conscious decisions now, considering we have a lot of things to work on, especially with the kind of the GDPR, also the preparations for the World Cup. Also, we're taking over the other brands on the Kindred platform, and we're also having Sweden and other markets coming through regulation as well. So the overall mix is that we have decided that it's best for that business to be standalone for a longer period of time than we originally thought. But we're working very, very hard and actively, and if we can push it into this year, then we will really try, but we don't want to sort of overpromise on that.
What type of results did you sort of expect from that? Have you said anything about that?
For 32Red?
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of the migration, what do you expect to save or achieve?
Now, what we said in connection with the acquisition, well, the announcement was that currently the content is less on their platform than it is on the Kindred platform, so that should be a sort of a boost to revenues. But again, they're on a good platform from microgaming today, and that's been serving them really well and enabling them to grow very fast. So it's not a blocker per se for them, so it's more a question about for us as a group as well to operate as few platforms as possible. And as I said, we could close down two now, or we have the ability to close two. Thank you.
Hi, Christian Hellman with Nordea. Just a question on the market. Over the last couple of months, we've seen some very big mergers or deals in the space with GVC and Ladbrokes and also recently the PokerStars, the Stars Group with Sky Betting & Gaming. You're a big fish, but these other guys, they were already big fish to begin with, and now they are even larger fish, so to speak. What's your view on sort of the market? What's your thoughts on that?
I would say also large, not as large perhaps, but we are growing much faster than the overall market. For us, I think we are in a very good position. We have a very good underlying organic growth rate, which is really good, and if we can complement that with strategic acquisitions like we have done over the last six, seven, 8 years, really dating back to Mr. Bookmaker in 2005 even. That's served us really well, and that's what we're planning to continue to do. As long as we're growing much faster than the overall market, we are in a better and better position as time goes by. We have our proprietary technology platform that is really cutting edge. We have a very good modus operandi, so we're clearly seeing what's happening, and there we see some logics for what is happening. For us, it's business as usual to really continue to focus on the things that we can control really in a sense and do that really well. That's what we're doing as a group.
Without making any commitments, you said before that you sort of on average at least historically have done one acquisition per year.
Yeah, statistically average, yes.
Okay.
But we also said that they tend to come as kind of London buses in clusters of two or three as well. So it could be a few years when nothing happens and then a few comes at the same time. So joking aside, it's more a question about when we see a good opportunity with the right cultural fit and strategic fit, and then we will move on it if we see that it's good value in it. But as I also mentioned, now when we have our platform fully multi-brand enabled, with the single page app front end strategy that we have for the new migrated brands, that's really, really key for us to have as a complement to M&A as well, so we can launch organic brands as well in complement to acquiring, which is really good as an addition in the armory.
On that note, small final question just on the Vlad Casino in Romania. How has that performed since you launched it?
Yeah, it's doing well. So it's an interesting move. We're the first pure casino in the Romanian market, and it's performing really well. So we're optimistic for the future. And it's also first time where we're going more toward that kind of a brand positioning in a sense from a graphical point of view as well. So it's interesting. It's also something that we could potentially launch in other of our markets as well, not only in Romania.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Mikael Laséen, Carnegie. Just one quick question about the U.K. side. Can you update us on the U.K. Gambling Commission, the activities that they have done the past couple of quarters and the risk for higher betting duties in the U.K.?
Again, it seems to be a delay further on the triennial review and the outcome of that. There's been some articles in the last couple of days, one of as late as yesterday, indicating that it would go on the fixed odds betting terminals down towards £2 per sort of max stake. But again, it's nothing confirmed, and it's still up in the air. And if that's a sort of a first step, and then with the potential spillover in a sense on online, it's completely unknown as it is today. What is a big difference between land-based and online is that with land-based, it's a fixed machine that you can go and touch, but with online, it's very fluent. So if there's an increase on betting duties in the U.K. market from where it is today, it will for sure have a negative impact on channelization. And as the U.K. market is enjoying the highest channelization of any re-regulated market, up towards 95%, it would be a dent in that, and it would be a very unfortunate development in our opinion. And really, it's a question mark for the government if they really gain as much as they think. They could rather lose. That's something to be very minded about with the online industry, that the alternative is just one click away, and that's where the customers will go, where they find the best price, especially the more of the high roller or high staking players. They are more price sensitive and will go for that if they can find it. So we haven't seen anything concrete, and it's yet to be sort of defined.
Great. Any further questions from the web? Not from the phone either. All right. Just to follow up questions on both the M&A track and also on the sportsbook versus casino. What's the ratio of your sportsbook player also playing casino? Approximately.
Approximately.
Ballparks.
Yeah, no, it depends also per different brands, so it's no point communicating a number, but the average customer is it's much closer to playing two products per customer than just one. It is we have a good sort of diversification in the customer base from that point of view. Again, it depends on the different brands, and certain brands don't even have a sports, they only have casino and bingo as well, some, and so it's it depends on the different products and that's or different brands, so.
Okay, thank you. Then on the M&A track, I guess you guys have launched Vlad Casino. Would that be the sort of new addition to the Kindred Group this year, and we would see, is that where you've put all your M&A efforts into in 2018?
We don't know because we're not through 2018 yet, so we'll see. It's a step in that direction, as I mentioned, with adding more brands to the portfolio in an organic way and seeing what we can reach with that. It's a good complement, and then we'll see if we find something else that's in the other bucket, but that's for the future.
Okay, thank you. Then also a question on costs. We did get a lot of detailed questions from the phone, but you've had really good cost control over the last couple of quarters. We also see that now, some scalability in the business model as well. I guess for Q2 and Q3, important quarters because of the football championship.
Absolutely.
Is it more likely or fair to say that top line and margins will be more controlled by the sportsbook margin, and you'll keep the remaining cost base more or less as, you know, in strict control as we've seen?
Yeah, we continue to invest very heavily in the business when it comes also to staff and tech and other areas to continue to create differentiation through the tech layer and really making it much more difficult for our competitors to copy what we do and in data and all the other aspects of the business. Those investments are full on and really, really happening as we speak. As you say, the outcome of the second quarter, even if the trading update was what it is today, the outcome of the full second quarter will be what the World Cup initial phases are like, because that's where we see the biggest turnover really in this quarter normally, and then Q3 as well. Normally over the last three, four large tournaments, we have had a very good margin in total over the tournament, even if it's been a bit volatile between the early and late stages of the tournaments. That's the nature of our business, and it's nothing unusual, and we're happy and accepting that.
Okay. I don't have any further questions.
Hope not.
Actually, I have a lot of questions, but we don't need to drag out the time. Any closing remarks, Henrik?
No, I'm really happy to see all you guys and looking forward to see you again in the connection with the Q2 report. In the meantime, we will really thoroughly enjoying the World Cup and cheering for our teams. I'll be behind Sweden, albeit remote probability, but
Me too.
We'll see.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for coming.